Let's make it happen, Captain!
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag. Gov. Gov, you got a new machine there, I see.
It's actually my old machine.
Yeah?
This is my all else fails, it has Win 8 on it machine.
Yeah.
Because all of my other machines that have HDMI out, apparently the studios are having a little bit of fun lately. My VGA out, my tried and trusted Vista era laptop that only has VGA out cannot work in the studios today.
Yeah.
So when Larry emailed me going, you know, do you have something with HDMI out? I'm going, do I have something with
HDMI? You do. You have a bunch of machines with HDMI out.
I have like 17 machines with HDMI out. Unfortunately, they're all running 8.1 particular bills that can't be put on the show.
Yeah.
So this is my 8 that I go to very infrequently when I have to regress something.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a nice machine. One of the things I wanted to mention, I've regressed. I'm off the wagon as far as Facebook. I actually looked at it yesterday and commented on one person's post. But I saw in there that the Surface team showed a guy who was using his Surface, and it said, how do you use Surface? And he showed how he was driving 4 monitors with his Surface Pro.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
That's the USB monitors, because the Surface has one USB port, so you have to hook it up to
a hub. So you could do a second one, but not 4 unless you do something
special.
Use
a hub.
Yeah.
Use a hub.
Yeah, and I know I got a dock that came with my Surface Pro. It was like, I think, some Lenovo dock, or no, it might be Targus.
Targus dock, yeah.
So the Targus dock will do another monitor, too. So I do that just so I plug up the USB, and I've got, you know, this big spare monitor on my desk, too. But I was thinking about, how do I use Surface? And at home, I do this kind of interesting thing, which is why I wanted to mention it. So at home, I've got a really big monitor, 2 really big monitors on my main computer that I sit in front of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my Surface down below, and I like it being a separate computer. I don't want to have other monitors. I want a completely separate computer for doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
So so I've got my Surface Pro right underneath my other monitor, which is 42-inch, pretty big for a desk. And I like that I can just reach out and do touch on it, and it's always sitting there. But I don't like having the keyboard there, because it just takes up desk space, so Mouse Without Borders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing Mouse Without Borders from my big machine to my Surface Pro, and I can just move my mouse down there and start typing and do all kinds of stuff. I can drag files from one to the other, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to zip, like if you're going to do a whole directory, you have to zip it. So,
right.
But yeah, it's a phenomenal setup. I like it, and like if I'm playing Kerbal Space Program, which
mm-hmm.
you know that I am, then if you click out of the window, like it supports multi-monitor, and if I click on the other monitor, it drops out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have, you know, Mouse Without Borders with a separate machine down there, I can have like the KSP wiki and all kinds of other stuff down there that I can use while I'm playing the game, and it doesn't change me out of there. So I kind of like that. So yeah, Mouse Without Borders, awesome.
Yeah, I do something similar. I don't use Mouse Without Borders. I just TS into the Surface.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can do that too.
The Kinect turning any Surface into a touchscreen?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's. I don't have the link handy. I just was reading about it yesterday, and there's a company for about $100 that will turn literally any Surface. If you got it's the Kinect for a PC hooked up to a Windows 8 machine,
mm-hmm.
And a projector. It'll turn any Surface into a full-on touchscreen. So,
wow.
You know, 40 inches, 100-inch touchscreen for $100. I mean, you can set that up, you know, if you wanted to do it on a desk, if you're doing it vertically pointing down, if you, you know, had a wall that you wanted to do it with, you can convert any meeting room into it, you know, ad hoc touchscreen. I mean, this is really cool for portability.
So where were you when I was asking if you had a pick of the week?
Well, I just thought of it.
All right. Let's get the show started. From Mick Nunn 2009 in the show comments from last week, why does Microsoft have Windows Media Center and Windows Media Player be one program? I think he means, why doesn't Microsoft have Media Center and Media Player be one program? Well, I would say it's kind of like, why doesn't Notepad do a bunch of other stuff, like, you know, formatting text and highlighting and stuff like that. I'm glad that it doesn't. Keep it separated. Notepad should be Notepad. You want that stuff, go to WordPad. So I just think they should be separate, as a person more intimate with things.
Technically, Media Player came first.
Mm-hmm.
Media Center was done by a separate team.
Yeah. And it's a separate...
It's a completely separate experience, right? Now, would it have been technically possible? Of course. I mean, it's just adding features. But, you know, at the time, they wanted to do this whole immersive experience, the whole living room experience.
Yeah.
And Media Player just did not lend itself to do that.
Yeah.
There are, of course, some shared components between Media Player and Media Center.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it was decided that, you know, they should be separate programs. Media Center was written in .NET. Managed code, much of it was written in managed code.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at particular points, it just started to diverge.
Yeah.
And it just made sense to have a lighter weight media player program for, CDs, videos, mm-hmm. ad hoc things that, you know, you're just using regular on your desktop. And then for Media Center, it was a completely separate experience. You know, it's for TV watching.
Yeah.
It's for
TV guides.
For TV guides, right.
Setting up
it's
schedules.
It's the 10-foot UI is what they called it.
Yeah. And
back in the day.
So Media Center will play files. So
you
can just use Media Center and pretend that it's like Media Player.
I mean, there are certain things that aren't exposed in the UI that you would have to go to Media Player for. For example, creating playlists.
Yeah.
Right, the Media Center can use Media Player's playlists, but you can't really create them in Media Center.
Yeah.
So, like I say, there's two separate experiences. It was designed for the 10-foot. You know, you're using your remote control,
mm-hmm.
Which again, Media Player was not designed to do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. From Matthew, is there a way to permanently display the scroll bars in modern UI apps? They're typically hidden until you move the mouse or move the content keyboard, mouse, or touch, respectively. But I'd love to have them permanently displayed. You know a way to do that?
Unfortunately, there isn't, and the reasoning behind that is the whole no Chrome aspect to the full screen apps. We don't want to have anything that is detracting from having that fully immersive experience in the Windows Store apps.
Keeping it clean.
Keeping it clean, exactly.
Yeah, okay. From Jan, on my Lenovo X230T Windows 8.1 machine, the Settings Sync host uses about a core of the machine over minutes, sometimes hours, which lets the PC run hot and lose a lot of battery. See screenshot with about 20 minutes of what should be idle time. Something similar seems to happen with SVC host, I think Prof SVC service.
So that is syncing your settings. So this is 8.1. They're probably running 9431, the preview release.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of refinements have happened since then. Wait till RTM or GA, depending on which one that you're going to get. But I can say that syncing settings have become more refined. Shouldn't be taking up a core of your system. The thing to look at, though, is also what it is that you're syncing on SkyDrive. Are you mm-hmm. one of the early adopters of SkyDrive that got, the 25 gig SkyDrive limit? I think most new users get 7 gig without having to pay for more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kinds of things is actually being synced down? You might want to change those settings, move stuff off of SkyDrive to reduce what is being sync to your system all the time.
Okay. All right. So wait until after GA and then let us know. From John, it was good to meet you at the company store this weekend. He's talking to you, Gov. I watched Defrag for a while in the past. I joked with my brother-in-law, a Microsoft employee, asking if he knew you guys and if he'd get me your autographs. He didn't, and he wouldn't. So when I actually ran into you my first time on campus, it was pretty hilarious for us. Thanks for a tip on getting future employee badges for my nephew. They thought they were really cool. In the vein of Rico's fan letter last week, can I get an autographed Channel 9 guy? Good work. Keep up the show. So yeah, we'll send you an autographed Channel 9 guy. Anyone. Send us a postcard, though. Larry Larson, write Larry Law on there so that they know it's me. One Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Yep.
We will send that to you. All right, from Tyler, I have Windows 7 and Windows 8 dual booted. On my Windows 8 partition, it shuts down or restarts fine. But on my Windows 7 partition, it shuts down fine. But when I press restart, it powers down and stays on and not finishing the restart, just a black screen. Then I press the power button. I have found a way, but it comes back.
So it would have been nice to...
I might have read that completely wrong.
No, here. I'm pretty sure that was the mail. It would have been nice to know what he tried such that it made it stop.
Yeah.
Details like that are pretty helpful. Now, normally, Especially, like, I'm guessing that the machine was designed for Windows 7.
Yeah.
So if it came with Windows 7 on the system, it was shutting down properly. I don't know all of the setup that he has done to this machine.
Yeah.
Normally what you do is you go from oldest OSs to newest OSs first, if you're installing them, right? So if you start off with Win 7 and then you install Windows 8 into a second partition, everything should be fine.
Yeah.
You get upgraded to the new boot screen, blah, 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 but other than that, Windows 7 should be fine. If you went the other way around, things could potentially be screwed up, but it's kind of unknown. For his Windows 7 partition, you know, I'd be making sure that he's got all of the OEM chipset drivers installed. I'd also look to see what he's got plugged in to the machine, you know, is it a desktop or a laptop? Start pulling things out. Something might be interfering with the shutdown sequence.
And I have seen this at home on a machine that I built myself. Mm-hmm. And if I tried to put it to sleep, it would sound like it's still running. The screen would go black. But the machine would sound like it's still running, which kind of defeats the purpose of putting it into sleep. So I just would never, I mean, you know, it starts so
fast. But Hibernate would work fine?
I don't use Hibernate either. I just shut down at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it just went away. I mean, it started working after a while. So I think what happened was I installed the motherboard drivers
the
and chip, stuff like
utilities.
That.
Yeah, usually that's the thing that solves it. If he's running Win 7, he's got a system with, say, USB 3. You know, Win 7 doesn't have native USB 3, and he's got something plugged into one of those ports, you might want to install the USB 3 drivers for Win 7.
Yeah.
It may just be operating in USB 2 mode.
Okay. From Dave, after installing unnamed software product on Windows 7 x86 machine in XP mode, any future MSI installs run on the same machine will hang for an extended time waiting for system restore to make a restore point before allowing the installer to proceed. It could be 15 minutes up to 24 hours probably, although no one has the patience to see. We've left some overnight, and when checked in the morning, it's allowed the installer to continue. We know that some are taking more than 4 hours. In the installer log file, it shows that system restore returns an error when the installer continues. The entire time the MSI appears to be doing nothing in the time that when the system restore is supposedly doing its magic only to return an error. This affects MSIs on any software vendor attempting to install on the machine exhibiting this condition. Attempting to open system protection and turn off system restore results in a similar wait. The system restore button, configure button, create button are disabled in listing for available drives as attempting to get the list. I haven't had a sysadmin patient enough yet to wait to see if system protection will eventually populate and allow system restore to be turned off. The condition is caused by a third party, but I still want to get to the bottom of the problem.
Be nice to know what that third party was.
Yeah.
You know, you went into a ton of detail, but there seems to be purposefully missing information.
Yeah.
Again, it'd be really nice to have as much information as possible here. For the MSI thing, I think we've talked about this in the past. I need verbose MSI logs.
Yeah.
You go to this KB article, 314-852. It will tell you to use voice warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
Add a couple more flags to it. Voice warm-up, capital X, and bang. This article says it refers to XP, but you're running Win 7? You said Win 7?
Win 7, yes.
Yeah. So the capital X should apply as well. It will be the most verbose that we can get from the log.
Mm-hmm.
Send that. Again, if you have some more information on what type of software it is that you installed in XP mode so that I can actually reproduce it,
yep.
It'd be really nice to know, because ultimately system restore should not be getting in the way of any future MSI installs, of course, unless the initial software that got installed is somehow changed settings on the host system.
Okay.
So we'd really need to understand that.
Yeah. So do this. Send us the information. We'll help you out. And let us know who that third party is.
Right. Because I want to be able to reproduce it.
Yeah. And plus, if there's a third-party application that's causing problems, we can help make sure that it gets to the right people. So
right.
Maybe they can take care of that and help other people. All right. From another person, I've been using a pool computer, a Windows 7 Enterprise Edition computer, and now need to hand it back to our systems team so that it can be used by someone else at some point in the future. However, the next person I hit the logon screen is going to be offered the default option of logging on as me, and if they're used to logging into their own system with their own credentials as default, could end up locking my account due to incorrect password attempts. Is there a way of making it forget I was the last user, so at the default, at the login screen, so next user is an entirely new, completely new user ID and password, as if no one had logged on or the policy was set to never remember a last user?
So a couple of different ways that I would approach this one. If you're never going to have this machine again, I would simply delete the user profile. There's no reason why it should exist on the system, especially if you have saved documents, things that are, you know, personal or just PII, things of sensitive nature. Your user profile should not exist on the system anymore.
Yeah.
However, you need to log in as an administrator in order to remove that user profile.
And if you have another administrator account that you can log in to delete that account, you could just log in to that account anyway, and then when you log back out, that would be the one that shows up.
So you would obviously see that user log on. So for the second part of this, if you never want to see the last logged on user, which of course would affect all users on the system, you can run SecPol, Security Policy Editor, go to Local Policies, go to Security Options, and then under this interactive logon setting, do not display the last username.
Okay.
So if you do that, every time you log on to the machine, you'll have to input your username and credentials every time.
Okay, cool. All right, next question. I have a bunch of ripped DVDs that I play in Windows 7 Media Center. For the most part, they are okay using the default DVDID.xml file that's created, giving a nice cover art, thumbnail, and a synopsis. I have two problems, though. Sometimes the DVDID.xml file is never created, and sometimes the cover art provided by the link is ugly or just flat out wrong. I'd like to replace the cover art picture at a minimum and provide substitutes for the synopsis, genre, and other information would be a bonus. I've tried creating a 300 by 420 image called folder.jpg, and the folder contained the videos, but it's inconsistent. Sometimes it shows the image, and sometimes it doesn't. I haven't figured out what's causing a difference. Seems very arbitrary.
So a couple of things you might have to make, if this is on a local system, make sure that it's being indexed properly. Mm-hmm. You might have to rebuild the index after you create the folder. I personally use Media Browser as an extension to Media Center.
And this is an add-in?
This is an add-in, yeah. I really like the way that it handles cover art and synopsis. And it pulls, you can actually choose what sources for it to pull from.
Yeah.
Or you can update it with your own information as well. This is probably my, you know, number one add-in for Media Center. And it looks like they've actually recently upgraded. So if you install this, you'll be able to be more consistent with your customizations.
Okay, cool. All right, next question. How do I manually trigger the turn off display function in Windows 7? This normally happens automatically when a user doesn't move the mouse or presses any keys for a certain amount of time, power management section of control panel. Yeah, there is a way to do this, but you have to install a little app. There's an app called Push Monit Off that will do that by hitting Shift F1, and it'll do the same thing.
Yeah, to me it's rather interesting. I was trying to figure out what kind of scenario you would want where you'd specifically want to turn the monitor off versus just locking the machine.
Yeah, I mean, you could lock the machine and walk away, and the monitor will turn off after some period of time anyway, and you could just take that amount of time and make it lower
exactly.
If you want. Or if you just want the monitor off, you could do this, and Shift F1 will do it. Caveat emptor, it's some third-party program that you'd have to install. I'll link to it in the show notes.
Turning the monitor off is really not that big of a deal. It's just interesting to want to have to go and install something to do that.
It's interesting. The guy who harps on me about power settings is not so excited about being able to just turn the monitor off at a given time. Is that?
Oh, no. See, it depends. Are you on a desktop or in a laptop?
I don't know.
Right?
Either one, yeah.
I just close the lid.
Yeah, you could do that. Right. Next question. Audio devices control panel in Windows 7, there's a button titled Restore Defaults for any given audio device. Where are these defaults coming from? Where are they stored, i.e. on-device in Windows? I use an HDMI audio device on my video card. However, no matter what settings I apply to the audio device, i.e. choosing a 7.1 speaker configuration, they all get reset to defaults every time I reboot, i.e. 2.1 speaker config. I'm trying to locate where these defaults are stored so that I can lock them to the settings I need so that they stop getting reset on every reboot, requiring a reconfiguration.
Well, this will depend on what kind of audio device you have. If you've installed the third-party I'm assuming it's a third-party audio device, right? If they all call with control panel applets, tray little notification things in the notification area. It may be the one that's resetting the settings on every reboot. It might not. Really don't know what kind of audio device it is.
Yeah.
So you'd have to check that.
Okay. So it's probably an INF or something that it's pulling from?
So it's potentially an INF that it's pulling from. The restore defaults, anyways, is going to be restoring from what the default INF says.
Okay. And that is located where, if you wanted to play around with that, or would you not suggest playing around with that?
If you change the INF, you'll break the signature on the driver. So
all right.
Best so not to do.
Probably best not to do. Okay.
Right.
All right, pick of the week time. It is pick of the week, and I may go pick the pick of the week, and he chose his little keyboard. Look at this little thing.
I don't think you've actually seen it yet, no.
It's pretty cool. So your new machine, you didn't want to bring a big full-size keyboard and mouse setup.
I have a big problem with the wireless keyboards that tend to ship with tablets.
Yeah. Too much tool for you?
Well, A, they're really large.
Yeah.
You know, well, okay, so another. Not huge.
Size of the tablet.
But yeah,
still too big for you.
It's still the size of the tablet, right?
Yeah.
And they tend to eat the batteries, right? So you can have rechargeable batteries, which is fine, but it's still a whole lot of kit to carry with you.
Yeah.
So,
and what's the tablet you're rocking today? What is this one?
This is a Samsung Series 7.
Cool.
Couple, 3 years old now already.
Yeah.
So I got this. This is a Vision Tech Candy Board.
Okay.
Built-in trackpad. It has a built-in battery. Charges via USB with a little RF dongle.
So it's RF, right?
Yes.
What kind of distance are you getting from that?
I don't know. Let's see.
And he walks. He's leaving.
So you can still see the mouse going.
All right. So at least about 20 feet there. Good enough. All right. You don't have to go next door or anything.
Well, I mean, I've used it in my house, and I can be upstairs and still have it.
Nice.
Still have it go.
All right. How much does something like this run?
This is about $30.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I like it. It's nice and small. You can throw it in your pocket, bring it to a meeting.
They have other versions. I really like this one because of the center trackpad. It feels a little bit more like texting.
Yeah.
You've got some that have the trackpad off to the side. You've got some that have a built-in IR remote.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one of those as well at home, so you just flip it over and you have buttons on the back for a universal remote.
And this one has, the dongle is held inside the battery?
Inside the battery,
under a cover, so you're not going to have it fall out and go missing.
Right.
Hopefully. Okay, yeah, very cool. And what's this yellow thing that you've got in front of you, too?
Oh, this is a power pack.
Yeah.
I carry it with me all the time. It charges all my devices, my USB devices.
Extra USB power. And I do carry one too. There's mine.
Yeah.
So mine is an iSound power pack. And how many milliamps in yours?
Mine's 11,000.
Mine's 16.
Yeah, yours is definitely bigger, but a little bit more cumbersome. You need to charge from the wall.
Yeah, mine is 5 ports. I have to charge from the wall, and seriously, this thing takes all night long to charge up. So it's like a full 24-hour day to get this thing charged all the way.
Mine will charge via USB.
Nice.
The wall or, you know, obviously from any device. So if I have my computer, if it's plugged into the wall and I'm short on space but I need to charge this thing up, I can do it via its USB port.
I like that. This one, I have to have the wall thing to charge it, which I don't like. But when I travel, if I'm just gone for like 2 or 3 days, I don't even take the wall charger because it will recharge my phone so many times that I don't even need it. So I just throw it in my bag without the power. But yeah. All right, that is the show for this week. Email us at defragshow@microsoft.com or leave comments in the show notes and we'll get back to you there. But we like the email so we can go back and forth and we'll see you next week.
Remember, screenshots, logs, inventory of applications that you might think be causing the issue.
And nice postcards. Send nice postcards. See you next week.
Take care.